الإذاعة الإلكترونية لجامعة العلوم والتكنولوجيا تقدم مصطلحات ومراسلات باللغة الإنجليزية. الإعداد والتقديم الدكتور محمد شجاع الدين. الهندسة الصوتية المهندس محمد العلي. الإشراف الدكتور سميرة الشميري والدكتور محمد السيد. الإخراج رياض المحيا.
Dear students, welcome back to our learning symposiums on air for the subject commercial correspondence. In today's lesson, we're going to learn about the main parts of the business letter. Upon finishing this lesson, you should be clear with the following. The heading, date, inside address, salutation, the body of the letter, complimentary clause, finally the signature. Before we start, let's have a look at the main parts in the layout of a typical business letter. Now, dear students, here we have all the seven parts of the business letter as shown in this example. Okay? These are actually representing the order of the items inside the business letter. We start with the first one, which is the heading, okay, and the inside address, the date. These are the initial parts of the business letter. The point here is that we would like you to see the order of these parts in almost most of the business letter. However, this might also be different because certain companies might use different typing system. But this is a very common way of writing business letter regarding the order. Let's have a look. We have the first part, which is the heading, number one, usually on this place. Then down with two spaces, we have the date. Number three is the inside address, which is always placed in the side, the left side of the business letter. What follows is the salutation. And again, this is a very common place, usually down two spaces below the inside address. The body of the letter, which contains the main facts of the business letter, of course, is of different lengths. And this substantially differs according to the content of the letter. Number six, we have the complimentary clause. This can be placed in either the right or the left side of the business letter. The last one is the signature. Again, the last two items can be placed according to the typical typing order used by the company. Now, we're going to take the first part of this letter, which is the heading. The heading includes the name of the company and its address. Heading is usually printed at the top of the page. In fact, headings differ greatly as names and addresses of the companies are different. However, they contain at least the name of the company, the type of business, the street, the name or number, the town, and finally the country. These are called essential parts in the heading. Other additional items can also be added, such as the telephone, number, fax, email, an attractive trademark, or a picture of the building. The importance of heading lies also in giving a symbolic impression of the business it represents, and should at the same time reflect the dignity of the company. Let's see the following example. The following example here shown is an example of a heading of a company. You notice that the name of the company is Laser Shaving UK Limited. Wembley 24, this is the street and the number of the street, United Kingdom. Now, these are the essential parts of the heading, meaning that every single heading should include these parts. We have the telephone, fax, email. These are considered as optional. However, in today's technology, these are regarded as main parts also. Yet, a lot of people still consider them as optional. Now, dear students, we come to the second topic in this lesson, the date. The dateline consists of the day, month, and year, which is placed two or three spaces below the last line of the heading. It is placed in the upper right-hand corner of the paper. The date may also be written at the center, but should not be abbreviated, as this may reflect carelessness. It's important to know that there are two ways of writing the date, as in the following examples. Number one, you may start with the month, and then the day, and then the year, as in the example, April 22nd, 2012. Number two, you may start with the day, then the month, and the year, like 22nd of April, 2012. You notice, my students, is that the days should not be written in letters. They're always written in digits, numbers, while months are always written in letters. And this is a common mistake that business people might write here in Arab countries. However, companies abroad usually send their dies, their letters, using this way. One more thing is that writing the days using ordinal letters, ordinal digits. For example, if it's the first day of the month, we say first, so we add ST. If it's the second day, as in the example, we write second and D, and then third, fourth, fifth, etc. So this is called the ordinal letters, ordinal digits. And this is one of the ways of writing dates. The inside address contains the full name and address of the person or organization you're sending the letter to. Inside address should be written on the left hand, two spaces below the date. The sender should write names of persons, companies, streets, and any other information of the receiver as indicated in the source he gets the address from. These details should not be abbreviated too. Now, since you mentioned names in the inside address, you need to use the following titles before the name of the addressee. Number one, Mr. This title is used before the name of a man, example, Mr. Hisham. Number two, Mrs. This title used before the name of a married woman. Example, Mrs. Huda. Number three, Miss. Now, this title is used before the name of an unmarried woman. Example, Miss Afra. Number four, Miss. Now, this new title is used before the name of a married or single woman. Example, Miss Fatma. Now, the point to number four is it's pronounced exactly the same as number three, Miss for unmarried and Miss for both married and unmarried person. Why is this so? Actually, this is considered as a new title being added to the English language. This title was a result of a movement that first occurred in the 1850s in America called the feminism movement. However, it becomes like a common title in business letters, so that to be on the safe side, sending a woman without knowing the status of that person, you may use this title, which is very common and sometimes considered as formal. Number 5, Messrs. This title is used when addressing more than one person, of course with names known. Example, Messrs. Ahmed and Partners, or Messrs. Ahmed and Usama. Number 6, the use of the. This title is actually used before the name of company without names of persons. Example, the International Bank of Yemen. However, some companies might sort the name of the company without the need to use the. For example, International College. So this is based on the nature of the name of the company. Number 7, Doctor or Prof. Now, these titles are actually used before the name of a person who has professional title. Examples, Dr. Jamal or Prof. Muhammad. In general, the inside address takes 3 forms depending on the nature of the addressee. First, addressing an individual in a company as in the following example. The example shown here, Mr. Anwar Ahmed. Now, as you notice, we start with the name of the person you are addressing the letter to, and then comes the name of the company and the other details, including the name of the street, the town, and the country. Of course, you can also add extra information like email and telephone number. However, this is about the addressee, not about your company. So most of the time, there's no need to write these extra details. However, the need here is that you're addressing the letter to one individual inside the company. So we start with that name. Look at the example. Mr. Anwar Ahmed, Modern Industries Corporation, Cairo, Egypt. Second, addressing an anonymous employee in a company, as in the following examples. The marketing manager, Medical Union Pharmaceutical, Ismailia, Egypt. You notice here that we are addressing a person without knowing the name. So we use the title and the position that that person holds in a company. Example, the marketing manager. Of course, the more specified and the more you specify the name, the more accurate. However, sometimes this may not be easy, so that's why we use the title and the position of that person. It can be the marketing manager, it can also be other positions he or she might hold. Third, addressing the company itself. The following example shows the company here, the name of the company, and then comes the other details. The International Trading Center, P.O. Box 1241, Sana'a, Yemen. You notice here that most of the addressees do not include the extra information that we have in the heading. Again, this point is more about correspondence. In the heading, you need to put all the details of your company so that you facilitate the correspondence between you and the other business entities, including your customer. But in this example, it's just you sending the letter to one or other entities. The point is that you already know the address, and there is no need to add extra information, like the email and the phone number. However, this does not mean that adding these details might be wrong. Our 4th point is about this salutation. conversation part in the business letter. It's the greeting you start your letter with, and usually typed at the left margin, a double space under the last line of the inside address. The choice of salutation depends on the personal relationship between the writer and the reader, and also on the form of the inside address. The most commonly used salutation for a letter addressed to a company is gentlemen or dear sirs. For a letter addressed to a person, use the form of salutation that best reflects the degree of formality or informality you think is appropriate with that person. Let us see the different salutation used as a range from the most formal to the least. Number one, dear sir or sirs. Use in a letter written to a man whose name is not known. For example, dear sir or dear sirs. This is, of course, one of the most common ways of writing salutation in business letter. Practically, a lot of customers send letters to companies without knowing the other parties. For example, you might write a letter to a company asking for information about a particular product. In that sense, you might send the letter to a person you know the name already from the ad of the company, or, which mostly happens, you address the company with sir, meaning that you do not know the person you're addressing the letter to. In some cases, you might know the position, or you want to address the letter to a position in a company, for example, the sales manager. So here, an example of sending a letter salutation without knowing the name of the person, which is very formal and also common. Number two, dear madam, use in a letter written to a woman, whether single or married, of course, whose name is also not known. Example, dear madam. Number three, dear, use in a letter written to a man or woman, but their name or their names are known. Example, dear Mr. Ihsan, a man, or dear Mrs. Asma. Now, dear students, we come to discuss the fifth part of the business letter, the body of the letter. This part contains the message we want to convey to the reader and is arranged in paragraphs. Each one deals with one point of the message, just as in a composition. It is recommended that each separate idea is expressed in a separate paragraph. The body begins two spaces below the salutation and is generally single-spaced and double-spaced between the paragraphs. Some letters are very short, and many consist of only one paragraph. However, many other letters fall naturally into the framework of the following three paragraphs. First paragraph, the introduction. The opening takes the form of an introduction or acknowledgement, as there has been previous correspondence, of course. Second paragraph, the middle or main part, it gives information and also state facts. The third paragraph, the closing part, refers to future action. Now, dear students, the sixth part of the business letter is the complimentary clause. The complimentary clause is the polite ending which concludes your letter. It is usually placed two spaces below the last line of the letter. only the first letter of the first word is capitalized. A comma is placed at the end. The complementary clause begins about halfway across the page. The most common form used are 1, yours faithfully, or faithfully yours. This is a standard form for business letters. Now, the point of using this is actually is the formality degree that the person is writing the letter to a person without knowing the name. Actually, this happens if you are sending the letter to a company. It is considered as a formal type of complimentary clause. Number 2, yours sincerely, or sincerely yours. This is used for a business and personal letters between people who are acquainted with each other. The expression used must agree with the degree of formality used first in the salutation. Let's have a look at the following salutations with their matching closers, which are considered as the most commonly used ones in the business letter. The salutation used is "Dear Sir." In this case, the complimentary clause will be also "Yours faithfully." Now, this explains the relationship or the degree of formality. Once you're sending the letter to someone, you do not know the name, a person, or an individual inside a company. You also need to conclude your letter with an official or a formal closing like "Yours faithfully," or "Dear Madam, yours truly." The second example, "Dear Mr. Shamsan." Now, "Dear Mr. Shamsan" represent some kind of formality, but the name is known. In this case, the complimentary clause will also be different. So, knowing the name means that you will use a different closer. In this example, it becomes "sincerely" or "sincerely yours." So by this, we notice that the salutation should somehow agree with the closer, but of course not always. However, most companies use this model. You start with the name, so we use "dear" plus a name in the salutation, and then you conclude your letter with the complimentary clause such as "sincerely." But if you start the letter with the title "Dear Messer" or "Dear Sir," "Dear Sirs," "Dear Madam," this means that you do not know the name. That also means you have to conclude the letter with the closer that represents this degree of formality. And in this case, of course, it's "faithfully" or "faithfully yours." Now, our last part of the lesson is about the signature. The signature must contain the sender's pen-written name and typewritten name. It may also include his business title, department, or the name of the company. Of course, no punctuation marks follows the signature. However, as most signatures are generally unreadable, it has become a common practice to typewrite the sender's name under this signature or impress it with the rubber stamp. The signature may take one of the following forms depending on the situation. Number 1, the owner of the business itself, or a sole trader. Number 1, the owner of the business itself, or a sole trader. The surname must be written in full, preceded by the first name, partly or completely initiated in order to make the signature short. Example, "Yours faithfully." This is the complimentary clause Now comes the name. As you follow here, we have the same name written twice. In fact, one of the names is actually typewritten. The other one is printed. And this is what we mean by signature. At the end, you must understand that the signature must include your identity, which is a common problem in Arabic, which is also avoided in business letters. Okay, one way to avoid this problem is that you write your name first, written, and then you can type it to make sure that the reader will understand the identity. The example here, Salah.m, which might represent the second name, for example, Muhammad, and then Hamid. Also repeated, Salah, Muhammad, Hamid. As you notice, the one in blue represents your name either pinwritten or typewritten. The point is that you write your name so that the other part, which is here, the addressee, the receiver, and the reader of the message, understand that this specific person was the one who writes the message. And at the same time, it can also include the position of that person. So, that's why it should be clear enough for the reader to understand the name. And that is why also we call it an identity. 2, a partner in business owned by more than one person will sign his name under the name of the business which is typed or stamped. Example, the name of the company may be preceded by for or pro, as in the following examples. Waleed and Salman Trading Center. You notice this is a name of a business that represent a partnership. So we find two names at the same time printed in that signature. However, the one who types and sends the letter is the only one who writes his name on the signature. F. Waleed. Of course, F in English represents the name of the person. For example, Fat. And then, again, the name written again, either pinwritten or typewritten. In case of limited liability company or bank, the person who signs will write his name under the name of the company or that bank, and then write the position he holds below his signature. The name of the company may be preceded by for or PP. Look at the following example. For Sammy and Corporation. And then the name of the person who writes the letter. Now the use of for plus the name and then the company is a very commonly used way of writing signature. The point is, in big companies, sometimes the manager himself or the owner may not have the time to write letters to other business entities. And that is why they assign and nominate some people to do that. So that's why this person who writes the letter should write first the name of the company using for, and then the company's name. After that, he writes his or her name as in the signature. Of course, again, this name should be either typewritten or penwritten name. They should be clear so that they represent the identity of the sender. In case of a limited liability company or a bank, we have another way of writing this signature as in the following example. For Egypt City Corporation Limited. You notice the use of for, then the name of the company. After that comes the name of the person who writes the business letter. Example, Omar Ismail, and then the name again, Omar Ismail, and the position that person holds, the manager. However, the name again is typed twice. One is pinwritten, and the other one is typewritten. And that is why we have to write two. One is representing the position, and the other one might also include the name of the company. So the whole signature represents the name of the company, the business, the nature, and at the same time, it tells us about the one who sends the letter, whether an individual inside the company or the manager himself. By this, dear students, we come to the end of the lesson. We discussed the following main parts of the business letter: the heading, date, inside address, the salutation, the body of the business letter, the complimentary clause, and finally the signature. Dear students, our next lesson will be about the secondary parts of the business letter. Until then, I wish you all the best. Thank you for watching us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
مصطلحات ومراسلات باللغة الإنجليزية. الإعداد والتقديم الدكتور محمد شجاع الدين. الهندسة الصوتية المهندس محمد العلي. الإشراف الدكتور سميرة الشميري والدكتور محمد السيد. الإخراج رياض المحيّة.